Good morning and welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. There are some people that need to settle down with their waving about here, but it's great to see some Criders here. Thank you. Today we're celebrating All Saints Day, and as I have been thinking about it this past week, I had a nice visit with Annie Yoder, and we prayed together. And thinking about that, I also was thinking about back when I was in eighth grade, and I was athletic and so forth, involved in a lot of things, and there was this lovely seventh grader, her name was Karen Scott, and I remember chatting with her a little bit before she left to go home after school, and then I saw her at the traffic light and waved to her, and when I got home that evening, I found out she had been hit by a car and was paralyzed, and a week later they pulled the plug, and that was my first real encounter with death of a person close by. And in many ways, I think that it changed me fundamentally in that it made me conscious of the fact that we need to express to those around us their preciousness as they are alive. And so it was a real blast to celebrate Ben last weekend, especially with all those end-of-life songs and so forth. I didn't know quite how to process that. But at any rate, let us celebrate the living as we recognize those who have gone before us and worship God together as we bring all of those thoughts and reflections before Him. So if you're listening on the podcast or however you're receiving this time, we invite you to this presence, or this time where there'll be sharing, personal sharing of people later on that Steve will lead. And so we invite you to prepare your hearts and minds for that.
In your hymnal, number 615, and we'll stay seated for this first hymn, Shall We Gather at the River?
Thank you.
For the call to worship this morning, I invite you to turn in your worship hymnal to 805, and I will read the light section, leader section, and you are invited to respond with the bold, in the bold print. Eternal God, before you generations passed, your character is love, your way is compassion, your name is everlasting. Today, we remember those who lived, labored, and loved among us. Because of their lives, we know better how to live. Because of their suffering, we find greater strength. Because of their death, we better understand what is important in life.
Sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We grieve, but not as those who center their thoughts on death. We sense loneliness, but not as those who are left alone. We thank you, God, that even in separation, we experience love, peace, and hope.
We praise you, God, for light which arises out of darkness, for comfort which is constant in the midst of confusion, for hope which springs out of sorrow.
We thank you, God, for sending a Savior who says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me shall never die.
O God, grant us grace to affirm in life as in death that we are yours. Our help is in you. Our hope is in your promise. Jesus Christ, our loving Lord. Amen.
In the same hymnal, please turn to 636. For all the saints. And we're going to sing all the verses on this, okay? So verses 1, 2, and 3 are on the left side. Then we'll go to the right side of the page for 4, 5, and 6. And then we'll conclude with 7 and 8. If standing is comfortable for you, please stand. But if you need to sit down, we'd rather have you singing than standing. So do whatever you need to do to sing with us. 636 for all the saints.
Thank you.
seated. You'll need the blue Prairie Street Sings. Boy, that's hard to say. Prairie Street Sings folder for the next one. It's number 80. And this hymn is new to us. We think it might be the first time we've sung it in worship. And so the instrumentalists are going to play the melody for us once, then they'll play it with all the harmonies, and then the third time through, we'll come in singing, and we're going to do just the first three verses. This is number 80 in your blue folder. I shall praise you, O God.
I invite you to turn again in your blue hymnal to 690. We'll read that a little later as part of our confession and our words of assurance. In thinking about this theme of those who have passed before us, I've been thinking about the way that in times of war, one of the things that gets taken away very quickly because of the overwhelming nature of death during war is people lose touch with the grieving process, and it takes a lot of time, and much of the trauma reconciliation work that we do in Africa and other parts of the world is to help people refine themselves, refine their humanity after not being able to grieve. And so it's a privilege to be able to take time to grieve and to also cherish again those people who have gone before us through a kind of service like this. I'm reminded that even though our situations are quite different than a wartime, many of us take a long time to grieve, to come in touch with what's lost. My mother died May 19th of this year, and I have never thought so frequently of her. I have never had a period of time where I've had so many occasions where I've wanted to give her a call, wanted to share a few words. I think of about 35 or 40 years ago when my mom and dad had moved to Souderton, Pennsylvania, or shortly after they had moved there. My mom and I were talking at the time that my dad died, so 28 years ago, and she said, it's just 2 years ago when we came to interview here at Souderton that I finally let go of everything that I was carrying from my parents' death. And during that visit for the interview at Souderton, Dad and Mom were talking, and Mom was getting in touch with some stuff from 30 years before, and they wrote the things down, they prayed, and they burned them near a little tree there just outside of Souderton. So we come to these times of recognition of grief and loss from very different positions. Sometimes we come with regrets. Sometimes we come grieving a life that was cut short too soon, grieving loss from things that we didn't do, opportunities that we didn't have. So as we come into this time of silence as a part of our confession, I invite you to open your spirits to the way that God is wanting to touch you at this time, the points of grief that might come to mind. I encourage you to take a moment to lift those up. If you want to put your hands out, lift them up, bring them before the Lord, and release them to God's care. And then I will begin by saying, "Have mercy on us, O God," and that's your cue to begin reading 690. So let's enter a couple of minutes of silence. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all of our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. We have sinned against you and have done what is evil in your sight. As sacrifice, we bring our broken and contrite hearts. I invite you to stand as we read these words of assurance. God will create in each of us a pure heart. God will not take the Holy Spirit from us. God will restore us to the joy of salvation and grant us willing spirits to sustain us. Praise to the God of mercy who loves and forgives us. You can remain standing as we enter into the sharing of the peace of Christ. I invite you to say, "The peace of Christ be with you," and the response is, "And also with you." We invite the children.
Our birthday blessing.
Oh, first the birthday.
We have our tradition of celebrating the November birthdays on the first Sunday of November. And I think this month, with All Saints today, there's a special tenderness. Anniversaries. Yes, birthday blessings, anniversaries of special events. But as I say today, on this Sunday, we remember this with certain tenderness, knowing that life is limited for all of us. So I invite birthdays, anniversaries, other special events to come forward. And I think we're curious here. Donna Bell?
I'll be 88.
88. This isn't me. This would be for my dad. This would have been his birthday, too, this month. So in just a couple days. And you, oh, how old?
Yes, November.
Yes, okay.
And torn. We ask for your blessing for the ideas and the energy and the hopes for this new year. We bless these we love and are grateful for their presence among us. Amen. Amen. And we have a children's contingent. Come on down, children. Anne and Chet have been on a long journey.
Yeah, you all are going to have to come up here a little closer, or we're going to have to go sit right there in the middle of you. So anybody can come a little closer so you can reach the basket. And can any of you tell us what the money's being collected for? Because we don't know. Well, we'll presume it goes to a good cause. If you have something, you may add it to the basket. If you do not have something, you may say a prayer for the unknown recipient. And I brought somebody with me. His name is Chet. He's a good friend. And we just got back from hiking together. So just wanted you to know that. And my name is Ann. Alrighty, I hope I can lift that thing. There we go. Whoever's blessing doing the blessing later, be aware this is heavy. All right, so here's my question for you all. What do you do when you feel sad? Crying, that's a number one good response. Sure, it's very healing. Our tears are healing. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have something you do when you feel sad?
Make stuff.
I was thinking, we have some people in our congregation that I know they do quilting and other things to help work through sadness and grief. What kind of things make you sad? People being mean. Yeah, that would make me sad too. Yeah. What else might make you sad? Well, something we're talking about today, which is when somebody dies, makes us sad. But there's kind of a difference, because somebody being mean to you, you know, we would hope and pray that maybe someday they would stop. So there's some kind of sadness that I would say is, it's temporary, it will change. There's other sadness that is permanent, it won't change, and that's called grief. And that's when a pet or a person, somebody that we love, actually dies. They're not going to come back. And so that kind of sadness, in a certain way, is with us forever as grief, and so we need to learn what to do with our grief. So I will tell you, some people actually go hiking to deal with their grief. Sometimes they'll go in memory of someone they have lost. The first person that ever hiked through the entire 2,000 miles of Appalachian Trail in 1948, Earl Schaefer, did that because after World War II, he was very, very sad, and his best buddy had died. And he said he walked the whole trail to walk off the grief. But his life wasn't ever going to go back to what it was before. It was going to have to become a new kind of life without that friend ever physically with him again. So I have a question. My good buddy Chet, we went hiking just last week, and I want to see what he thinks hiking is like, what he can tell you.
Okay. The thing I noticed about hiking is that sometimes it's really fun and really good. You're out in the country, and it's really pretty, and you're making good miles, and it's sunny, and everything's nice. But there are also times when you wake up in the morning and it's cold and it's raining and you have to pack everything up and you have to go out and walk and the path is all covered with rocks, so you have to be really careful going from one place to another, and it goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up, and then you get to the top and you get to walk on flat ground for about 25 feet, And then it goes down and down and down and down. It changes all the time. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really hard. There are things that feel that are good because it feels so good when you stop. And hiking is like that sometimes.
And there's pretty views too. But, you know, I kind of think that's how God wants us to deal with our grief. God wants us to feel sad sometimes, but not the rest of our lives always 100% feeling sad. The scripture that's going to be read talks about grieving for a time, but getting on with our lives too. And, you know, grief is like that. We have times where it feels like it's raining all day and all we're doing is thinking about how much we missed that person. And there's truly times we feel like the sun comes out and we realize somehow we've moved a little and we're not quite as sad as we were. And we maybe don't know how that happened, but it happened. So later in this service, we're going to do something that is very appropriate to do at least once a year, to light a candle to deliberately remember the people that we love and always carry in our hearts but aren't always with us. So that will happen later. And I just thought, because when I picked up my notebook, these were in it, that I would show you. These are some of the people from our lives that we miss that aren't with us anymore. So we'll be lighting candles for these people. So let's have a prayer and then send you back to your seats. Dear Lord, we're grateful for each person here. You know them. You know their hearts. You know their losses. You know their hopes and dreams. We ask your blessings on each one today and each day. We pray in your name. Amen.
Today's reading comes from the Apocrypha, also referred to as the wisdom literature, and it's written very much in a conversational, advice-giving tone, and so I thought sitting to the side would be more fitting with the way it's written. My child, let your tears fall for the dead. And as one in great pain, begin the lament. Lay out the body with due ceremony and don't neglect the burial. Let your weeping be bitter and your wailing fervent. Make your mourning worthy of the departed. For one day, or two to avoid criticism, then be comforted in your grief. For grief may result in death, and a sorrowful heart saps one's strength. When a person is taken away, sorrow is over. But the life of the poor weighs down on the heart. Do not give your heart to grief, drive it away, and remember your own end. Don't forget, there is no coming back. You do the dead no good, and you injure yourself. Remember her fate, for yours is like it. Yesterday it was his, and today it is yours. When the dead is at rest, let his remembrance rest too, and be comforted for him when his spirit has departed. Thanks be to God for his word. Right, Steve? God bless you.
this passage that we just heard from the Apocrypha is one of the most helpful scriptures in our holy scriptures that I'm aware of on grief. The question was asked by Anne of our children, what do we do when we feel sad? We cry. And here is a prescription to cry and let your weeping be worthy of the departed, a strong prescription to weep and to cry, to feel what we feel, to honor those who have passed before us. Thinking of children and what makes them sad, I think of the first thing that my first encounter with death was as a 9-year-old child. I was in a 4-H beef club, and this was my first show calf, a little Angus steer. I became so attached to this calf, I played with it, took it on its show lead, and took it all over our front yard, and I could anticipate its end. Bennett was its name. I still have his birthday cap in my treasure chest. But I became so attached to this animal, and even though I knew that on Friday we would depart and that he would go to a local place to be processed, which was a kind word for what would happen to him, as much as I could anticipate that, that was profoundly difficult. We went on vacation the next week, and I thought I'd work through the grieving process, crying and crying as I did as a young child, only to receive a call 2 weeks later after getting back from vacation from the butcher who said, I could tell how attached you were as a child to this calf. I just want to let you know I saved its tail for you. And that was a trigger, again, you know, this part of Bennett that was saved for his good intention, but the butcher lacks a certain sensitivity to this poor grieving child. So to have these things that come and go and to bring us back to the grievous losses we suffered, and here we have this rich passage, to let your weeping be such to honor those who have passed before. This past month has been a powerful month of grieving in our own home, just having the memorial service for my father-in-law in that week, then for my wife's closest aunt, who is like a second mother to her since her mother passed of cancer years ago, and then to die that same week. And this last month marked the deaths of three other of her siblings. And so this is an occasion for us and to live with the wisdom of the Psalms, our prayer book in the scripture, that when we feel sad, to feel sad, when we feel angry, to feel the intensity of that anger, and when we need to grieve and cry, to find various expressions, that we freely do that as part of the healing process, and to present all of that to God. And so as we want to do that this morning, to be able to feel what we feel, and to be able to present our needs, our requests to God, and to remember those who have passed before. As I did of my interviews in the congregation, summarized in the report that was circulated this past week, one note that I would simply highlight in that is that this is a congregation who continues to feel significant grief. And so this morning is especially important that we remember those who have recently passed from this congregation, thinking of Brent, Ross, and Alan. Thinking also of other couples. So yesterday I had a breakfast with Ben and Yossi at our Walnut Hill campout at Amigo, and to talk about their experience of leaving Prairie Street to pastor at Walnut Hill. A familiar rhythm, as much as you anticipate this, to know that these comings and goings bring certain losses. And so with Nick and Mariah, we can go on and name the various people who have left the congregation for various reasons, people coming and going, leaving the congregation to experience grief. So we want to, in our time of lighting candles, remember those who have passed on. We want to remember those who have moved on, leaving us to feel what we feel. We want to have a time of instrumental interlude here, and simply to hear the music played and to call to mind those who God brings to mind, and to feel what we feel around the loss of these in our life. After which, I'll bring the mic around to provide you an opportunity to share with the congregation And then after we've all, those who have shared want to share, we'll hear of music once again, and then you'll have an opportunity to come forward to light a candle in memory of our loved ones. Well, as we have heard, there are a variety of griefs and sources of grief, and so let us feel what we feel. Let us grieve, and as a prayer, I invite you to turn to number 377 in the Blue Book, Mennonite Hymnal, and let us make this our prayer. Healer of our every ill, healer of our every grief. Let us stand as we are able, as you are comfortable, and make this our prayer, letting God to bring healing into our places of pain and grief.
Thank you. I invite the ushers now to bring the offering.
As the offering is received, please sing in the green book, number 15. We will sing the song twice through, number 15, Santo.
Santo, 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 mi corazón.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for those we have remembered today, knowing that our life is a journey with others in ways we would have never guessed and never could have planned. We travel as a people, sharing experiences, hopes, and fears. Be with us now in our laying hold of remembrances and our letting go, always celebrating your goodness to us. We remember this neighborhood. We mourn and weep for the wounded places of the community. We groan and grieve with worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Shed your mercy on all grieving families and communities. We remember those refugees and asylum seekers crossing borders, seeking community, seeking a place to belong, seeking a place to be loved. Help us to continue our resolve for peacemaking. Help us to bend and bow to your commandment to love you, to love one another. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones. Soothe your suffering ones. And shield your joyous ones, all for your love's sake. And now, remembering Jesus, we join our voices with the prayer that Jesus left for us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So for our last hymn, we're going to sing Something Happy. And I was thinking of how funerals in New Orleans, you know how when there's a funeral parade, everything, the music is somber, and it's somber, and then at some point it changes and it's up-tempo, and we're singing about the saints going marching in joy. So we're going to do that to end our service today. It's 427 in the hymnal. And this is a song that kind of cries out for unbridled percussion. So I have some percussion instruments up here. And children, you have time to come down and get them. Or Anna Ruth, there's an extra tambourine for you. I brought one. But anyone is welcome to use those if you wish. Number 427. Prophet Isaiah had a vision of a beautiful mountain, and Isaiah saw that on this mountain, God will destroy death, destroy the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. And Isaiah saw then that the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him.
so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen.